A door at the far end of the study led into what was evidently a bedroom. I could see a dresser and the foot of a covered bed, approximately the size of a railroad car. I could also see red-black droplets of blood on the walls.
"Come on, Harry Dresden," called a quiet, weathered voice from the bedroom. "We are at a stopping point and waiting on you."
I walked into the bedroom and found myself standing in a crime scene. The stench hit me first. Lafortier had been dead for days, and the second I crossed the threshold into the room, the odor of decay and death flooded my nose and mouth. He lay on the floor near the bed. Blood was sprinkled everywhere. His throat gaped wide open, and he was covered in a black-brown crust of dried blood. There were defensive wounds on his hands, miniature versions of the slash on his throat. There might have been stab wounds on his torso under the mess, but I couldn't be sure. I closed my eyes for a second, swallowed down my urge to throw up, and looked around the rest of the room. A perfect circle of gold paint had been inscribed on the floor around the body, with white candles burning at 5 equidistant points. Incense burned at 5 more points halfway between the candles, and take it from me, the scent of sandalwood doesn't complement that of a rotting corpse. It just makes it more unpleasant. I stood staring down at Lafortier. He had been a bald man, a little over average height, and cadaverously skinny. He didn't look skinny now. The corpse had begun to bloat. The front of his shirt was stretched tight against its buttons. His back was arched and his hands had locked into claws. His teeth were bared in a grimace.
"He died hard," said the weathered voice.
An Injun Joe listens to wind stepped out of a doorway that led to a bathroom, drying his hands on a towel. His long hair was gray-white with a few threads of black in it. His leathery skin was the ruddy bronze of a Native American complexion exposed to plenty of sunshine, and his eyes were dark and glittering beneath white brows. He wore faded blue jeans, moccasin boots, and an old Aerosmith t-shirt. A fringed leather bag hung from a belt that ran slantwise across his body, and a smaller, similar bag hung from a thong around his neck.
"Hello, Harry Dresden."
I bowed my head to him respectfully. Injun Joe was generally regarded as the most skilled healer on the White Council, and maybe in the world. He had earned doctoral degrees in medicine from 20 universities over the years, and he went back to school every decade or two to help him stay current with modern practice. "Went down fighting," I agreed, nodding to Lafortier. Injun Joe studied the body for a moment, his eyes sad. Then he said,
"I'd rather go in my sleep, I think."
He glanced back at me.
"What about you?"
"I want to be stepped on by an elephant while having sex with identical triplet cheerleaders," I said. He gave me a grin that briefly stripped a century or two of care and worry from his face.
"I've known a lot of kids who wanted to live forever."
The smile faded as he looked back to the dead man.
"Maybe someday that will happen, but maybe not. Dying is part of being alive."
There wasn't much I could say to that. I was quiet for a minute. "What are you setting up here?"
"His death left a mark," the old wizard replied. "We're going to reassemble the psychic residue into an image."
I arched an eyebrow.
"Is that even possible?"
"Normally, no," Injun Joe said. "But this room is surrounded on all sides by wards. We know what they're all supposed to look like. That means we can extrapolate where the energy came from by what impact it had on the wards. It's also why we haven't moved the body."